time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake by the Saturday morning sun, plop down in the living room for the big bowl of sugary cereal, and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
I'm Chris.
And with us today, we have
Justin Corbett. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Justin.
Hey, Jinx. No, you can't talk until you got to buy me a Coke or a beer or something. So I'll be taking over the podcast. No,
that'll make for a really, really boring podcast.
Yeah, right. Especially since we live in separate states and it'll take me a while to get you a beer.
Exactly.
I broke Jinx rules, so I'm cursed or something.
You
I don't know
it.
What happens when you break Jinx rules.
I'm pretty sure ninth layer of hell.
Yeah,
I think that's how it works.
Or like 1% body fat. One of the two. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Gain or lost? I don't know.
No, you need to gain, sir.
No, if it's lost.
So the rest of us can look better.
Well, Justin, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about you?
Okay, so I'm a podcaster. I've been doing this for like almost 4 years now. I used to host a show called Comical Podcast where we do all kinds of interviews with creators and stuff. But that show ended last year. And then I have a new show called Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast, which is like a show where each week me and two of my friends bring a nerdy theme to the table and then sort of dissect it and talk about all kinds of different segments with the theme. I'm also the writer and co-creator of Speak No Evil, which is a comic series that George, my co-host on Mind Fudge, and I have written together. And we actually have the Kickstarter for issue 3 going on right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my issue of 2 in today. It came in.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I want to check it out. I'll let you know what I think.
And explain the premise, because the premise is really awesome.
Okay, so Speak No Evil is about two brothers in the 1930s that find a cabin in the woods that used to be used by H.P. Lovecraft and Nikola Tesla for all sorts of weird experiments. And the boys find it, start playing with the equipment inside, and accidentally open a portal to another dimension, letting a whole bunch of monsters through. And then instead of doing the right thing and trying to shut it down, they figure out how to make money on the situation. And they start going from town to town, releasing more monsters, and telling the townsfolk, hey, we can save you, but it's going to cost you some money. And they do that a few too many times and sort of inadvertently bring upon the apocalypse.
I love it.
Dude.
That's so awesome.
I know this is a comic book right now, and you guys are just starting it out, but I think already this would make an awesome cartoon eventually. So fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah.
We can get to that
easily.
Point.
Yeah, we easily would, love for that would to make happen. A great cartoon.
And then we can review yes. it, and we can have you on again for that.
That'd yes. be great. George, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And George.
We'll
too.
Have George.
Yes. Nice.
George.
Well, like I said, welcome to the show. I've known you for what, like 3 years now? 2.5? 3?
3. Yeah. Just
yeah.
about 3.
Yeah. It's almost
I've known you for like 3 months. Yeah.
But it was almost.
No, it's
like,
been about 5 now.
Yeah.
When, at least 5.
When we started podcasting, at least my group is around the time you guys had started, or you kind of were into it a little bit more. We initially had a comic book podcast as well, and that's how we crossed paths. And since then, we've kind of we've been on various podcasts together, and we've met in person a few times. You're a Texan also, but you're down south. And yeah, we've frolicked and such.
Frolicked. We've had some misadventures.
Misadventures,
right,
wow. Indeed.
You crazy Texans, and you're frolicking.
Frolicking, yeah. Well, we're going to frolic some more on this podcast, because today we watched a show that I've been wanting to watch for this podcast forever, which is He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. I know that Justin is a big fan, especially of Beast Man. And so I was like, oh, man, is that your shirt you're wearing? That's amazing.
He's wearing a Beast Man t-shirt. That's awesome.
And so I was like, if we're going to do the show, I have to see if Justin can jump on, because I would love for that to happen. And so here you are. We're all joined together. And we'll start talking about He-Man. So He-Man, Masters of the Universe, aired from 83 to 85, created and developed by Mattel, Inc. and Filmation, produced by Mattel, Inc. and Filmation as well. It ran for 2 seasons, 130 episodes. It was first run syndication, so it ran across the board. It wasn't on any specific network. It was just like, whoever will take us, please air our show. And for a short synopsis.
Think about that for a second, though. 130 episodes in 2 years. That is insane.
Oh, that was man.
A lot.
But the quality of some of these episodes would explain why there were so many.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So, For a short synopsis, the most powerful man in the universe, He-Man, goes against the evil forces of Skeletor to save the planet Eternia and protect the secrets of Castle Grayskull. That's a good synopsis.
That's very accurate. Yes. And lots of antics ensue.
Antics, frolicking.
Frolicking.
In fact.
There's a lot of frolicking.
So much frolicking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially in the three episodes we watched.
Oh my God. Oh, yes. I can't wait to start talking about them. But first off, Chris, who were some of the actors who played in this show?
Sure thing. So John Irwin was the voice of He-Man, aka Prince Adam, Ram Man, and Beast Man. Alan Oppenheimer was the voice of Battle Cat, aka Cringer, Man at Arms, Skeletor, and Merman. Lou Scheimer was the voice of Orko, King Randor, and Man-E Faces. Man-E Faces, that's just ridiculous. Linda Gary was the voice of Teela, Evil-Lyn, Queen Merlina, and Sorceress of Castle Grayskull. And she wasn't in necessarily this series per se. Maybe she made one appearance, but I have to mention her because she kind of goes along with this, which is Melindy Britt as She-Ra, aka Princess Adora.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to bring in Melindy because we got to meet Melindy and Alan Oppenheimer in November of last year. And it was really awesome. They were really cool. They're super, super nice and just totally willing to geek out with us and talk. So.
Yeah. Alan Oppenheimer was not as evil as Skeletor, but he was hilarious.
He was very funny.
It's incredibly talented. It's incredibly interesting to watch him do the voices because he can transition between all of them because he's done a lot of cartoons, really, not just He-Man, but he transitions so well, and just see him jump from voice to voice in person is just an amazing thing.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun meeting up with them and getting to talk to them. And it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like in a way a childhood dream come true. It's weird seeing these voices you've known for so long come out of people's actual mouths. It's like, you're Skeletor.
And the story he told us was cool about why he did the voice that he did for Skeletor, which was because, you know, he said most people, when they think of like a big skeleton dude, they think of like a deep gravelly voice or something scary. But he's like, Skeletor doesn't have a nose. So I figured he should be real nasally. And I'm like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. So that's where the voice came from. He did that because he's like, well, he doesn't have a nose, so wouldn't he sound kind of goofy like that? So
kind of nasally, yeah.
I thought that was such a cool story to hear from the man himself.
It fit perfectly for the show, the way that,
yes,
man, I had forgotten just how corny it was, but we'll get there. But first, let me mention just a few marshmallows out of our big bowl of He-Man cereal. First of all, episodes in which the character Skeletor appeared were never broadcast in France because the image of his skull face were considered too terrifying for television. So basically every episode. So France might have seen three episodes. I don't know.
So did the French not know who the villain is?
I have no idea. Like
if they never showed him, how did they even like continue the story?
I don't know what they were showing. It might have just been a mini
series. Editing. Yeah. Somehow they edit it so Evil-Lyn is the main baddie.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's just all about that and Man-E Faces.
He's only in like two episodes.
Oh, that's right. That's all they got then.
Yeah.
Also, Orko's name was originally Gorpo in the early concepts of the show.
Gorpo.
But it was changed to save on animation cost because animators were able to flip animation cells because the O is symmetrical.
Right.
So, okay.
There's a lot of cheap things they did, like this next one where Prince Adam was supposed to be a teenager, but to save on animation costs as well, he was animated the exact same way as He-Man, which is like, it's like watching this, I'm just thinking constantly, how do you not know that this is He-Man right in front?
Right.
Because he uses a higher pitch voice. Like, that's it.
The only thing that changes is the voice and his clothes is that, you know, he's wearing less clothes.
Actually, if you pay close attention in a lot of episodes, he's a lighter color, lighter skin tone as well when he's Adam.
Adam.
He becomes tan when he becomes
He-Man. Tan, and his hair gets a little darker.
He-Tan, exactly.
His hair gets a little bit darker when he becomes He-Man, but just barely.
Yeah, man, so that's
He-Man.
Yeah. He-Tan.
Okay, can we get this out of the way real quick?
What's that?
He-Man is the most homoerotic superhero of all time. Like, just everything he does, I'm just like, this is like the poster child for, like, it's got to be the poster child for that kind of community. It just cracks me up. Like,
there are more prevalent characters in the Masters of the Universe universe than He-Man for that, though. Remember Bo from She-Ra?
No.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh,
yeah,
we
had Steve Orlando on my show one time, and he was like, yeah, Bo did some weird things to me when I was a kid.
Made me question everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, every character in this is like a bodybuilder wearing hardly any clothes, or if they are wearing clothes, it's like leather straps or pink shirts.
Well,
and
they
just
all have that little, they all have that little furry like loincloth thing. And
yeah,
because
they do.
That way it was easier to make the toys because all had that, just a different color.
Man, I kind of wonder what like parents of the time like thought when their kids are bringing home these like really scantily clothed, big, muscly dudes. Like, I bet there's a lot of dads out there like, oh no.
Well, it was like the legend says that they're like, this was originally supposed to be Conan the Barbarian, but then the toy company, like they Mattel saw that it was like rated R. So like, oh no, like we can't market this for kids. So we're going to flip it and make it something completely different. And so its origin was that it's obviously that's the only inspiration from it was just the original origin. And the story is now completely different since Filmation kind of made this whole crazy universe up. But yeah, it was originally supposed to be Conan the Barbarian.
Took the world by storm.
Indeed. So, Chris, I guess, well, everybody, what are your memories of the show?
Well, this was actually the first show that I remember falling in love with as a kid. My mom would let me watch it every day when I came home from school, from preschool and all that kind of stuff. And she would always buy these like giant jugs of Goldfish, and I would just sit on the floor and eat Goldfish, just shovel it in and watch He-Man all day, every day. And I had like favorite characters, of course, like Ram Man was one of my favorite of the good guys. Watching these episodes, my opinion has changed a little bit.
Like, right. Yeah.
When I was like four, I was like, yeah, Ram Man's great. Kind of missing a few nuts and bolts up there now.
Yeah.
Beast Man was the same thing. Like, I've always loved him. And like in the earlier episodes, he was way more of a threat.
Yeah.
He became way more comedic as time went by.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I've always loved He-Man. I've always revisited it. Like, as soon as it came out on DVD, I bought all the seasons, and like, I go back and watch it like at least once every couple of years. I love He-Man.
Oh, nice.
And he loves you too.
He does. When the live action movie came out, I remember going to a Toys R Us and meeting He-Man. And I was like, maybe 6 or 7. And there was He-Man was there. Skeletor was there. And She-Ra was there. And like, you know, basically what you'd imagine as cosplayers today, but
right.
You know, they did like a tour of all the Toys R Us's, and they had like He-Man cereal, I believe.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And like, I remember there's a picture of me somewhere as like a little kid hugging He-Man.
<That's> I feel awesome. Like he would be really sweaty. Like, I just get the feeling. Okay. That's what I, yeah.
He was oiled up and really sweaty.
He's just all oily and gross. You know, I never watched every episode, and like, I didn't watch it religiously, but I would catch episodes here and there, all through being a kid. And like, the one thing that's cool about He-Man, and I'm about to blow like listeners' minds who think they don't really know much about He-Man, even if you never really watched it, I can guarantee you know what it's about, and you know the majority of the characters, because it's just that, like, that show is that iconic that everyone knows He-Man, whether you've actually watched it or not. So yeah, I've had limited exposure, but I have seen it. And even just with that limited exposure, I know a lot about it. And I used to play with the action figures a lot. One of my friends was that kid who had every action figure ever that you don't have. So I'd go to his house. He had the Castle Grayskull set up and everything. And we were always playing with the toys, like He-Man. I loved Beast Man. He was my favorite.
Yeah,
Merman was awesome. Skeletor was awesome. And Many Faces. I love Many Faces too.
He's the best toy, but he's only in 2 episodes.
Yeah. I know. I didn't like that many of the good guys, but I did like Many Faces. But it's mostly the bad guys. I love all the bad guys a lot.
Yeah, that was like, of course, I mean, we all knew what it was. We all still know what it is. I'd seen many episodes. I don't think I've seen all of them, but I do remember one with like a blue He-Man or something, or a purple He-Man. I don't
know. Fakor?
Yeah. Is that his name? Fakor?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Fakor. Somehow, because people can't distinguish between Adam and He-Man, Skeletor figured out that he could make a blue version, a robotic version of Adam and He-Man.
And they would still
send it to Eternia. No one could tell.
And they still fell for it. They were all just like, what's going on, He-Man?
And, oh, jeez.
You're looking mighty ridiculous. Blue today.
No, that's something Skeletor would say.
Right.
You're yes. looking mighty blue today, He-Man.
This like I had so many of these toys as a kid too. I had many faces. Like, he was one of my favorites only because he was one of the first toys that I got. I had one called Stinkor, I think. He was like a skunk man.
Yes.
Yeah. And then
we actually did some research to figure out what gave him his scent, and it was like aged patchouli oil. They would cook into the plastic. Yeah.
Gross.
Ew.
I wonder
so
if those,
he actually stank.
Yeah.
He actually stank. Yeah.
That's I wonder crazy. If those retain their smell like after all these years.
They do. I actually have all of my toys in my garage.
Yeah.
And last year I pulled everything out, and like a lot of them had gotten really sticky and gross. But yeah, Stinkor still stinks.
Oh, nice.
Good. Like 30 years later, he still smells just as awful stinks. As he did back
nice.
Then.
That's good. That's good lasting power.
Yeah.
Who was the, I had this bird like guy too. He was like, had red kind of wings. I think he was a hero. He had like blue goggles.
Stratos.
Oh, okay, nice.
Stratos, yeah.
Yeah.
There was like a whole different society of like bird people, and he was their king.
Nice.
Oh my gosh.
There's so much about this universe. Perfect. It is. For as crazy and like weird as the origin of it is, it's so expansive. There's so much to it. And recently I've read the DC comic version, and those are really good. Like, they've updated it well.
They've been doing a great job. I've been enjoying like the new origin story and all that stuff, and the little bit more detailed version of the Eternia goddess and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I think they're doing a really good job with it. Like, way better than the 2002 TV series did.
Oh, yeah. So, I guess, let's go ahead and, I mean, we can talk about the toys and the characters forever, but let's go ahead and jump into the episodes we watched for today's show. Very first episode, highest rated episode, and finally, random listener chosen episode. Order may vary depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course, we have to start with the very first episode. I have to say that really fast.
You tried to do it as fast as you could.
I tried to.
Yeah. But, I don't think I could talk that fast.
the first episode we watched was The Cosmic Comet, which may have been my favorite episode, but we'll see. Season 1, episode 1, where Skeletor takes control of the powerful Cosmic Comet to destroy Castle Grayskull. To stop him, Prince Adam, Teela, and Man-at-Arms, Orko, and Cringer seek the advice of the Comet Wizard, Zagraz.
Comet Wizard.
The Comet Wizard.
Zagraz cracks me up. Oh my gosh.
That was such a weird character in the way that they decided to make him like Ed Wynn, the comedian. His voice was like, "Don't you know?" and things like that.
He sounds like Snagglepuss from like,
yeah,
you know, like the Hanna-Barbera kind of stuff. He's like, ooh, he's, you know, got the really effeminate voice and stuff.
For an opening episode, it's strange that you would mix like this like semi-serious side of it with He-Man and Skeletor and things like that with this like wacky wizard who doesn't really fit the theme at all. And I guess a comet wizard.
I think they were
the comet wizard
setting him up for future episodes to use him again, but I don't think they ever did.
I hope not.
And you know, even his like animation didn't like the way he looked didn't really jive with anything else in this show.
He wasn't ripped. Everybody else is ripped, and he's just a scrawny little Gargamel looking dude.
Yeah, it's like they pulled him from a different show altogether.
Exactly. Yeah. The first thing I noticed about this episode, and you know what? I must have gotten used to it because I can't recall this in the other two, but in this one at least, the use of the very Looney Tunes-esque sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
Like if something falls off a cliff, it's like, boo! Like, you know, things like that. I was like, what the? I don't remember this.
Yeah.
There was quite a bit of that throughout the series. I don't know if they did it in every episode, but it was pretty rampant throughout.
It caught me off guard, but it was really funny.
These had to be like the cheapest effects they could find or reuse, and because it was Filmation, but still it like, much like the Comet Wizard, it didn't really fit the way. Sometimes it was like really serious scenes where it just be like boing boing, like bounces.
Yes,
and things.
Exactly.
Like, no, that doesn't fit.
Right, like that default splat noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all from watching it as a kid, but yeah, seeing it now, oh man, that was weird. So in this episode, I guess these comets are like sentient comets in a way, because one of them turns evil because it's lost its good counterpart.
Well, the Comet Wizard was trying to do something specific. He was trying to like harness the power of the comets, but doing that, he broke one, like destroyed it. So the one got really lonely, which turned it evil.
That's right.
And then
it made it susceptible to Skeletor's.
Yeah. So Skeletor is like, oh, that's evil. I can control it. And Evelyn, come here. Can we just talk about that name real quick? Evelyn. It's like, was she originally just Lynn, like growing up? And then Skeletor's like, that's not evil enough. We'll call you. Evelyn.
Yeah. She was actually an evil sorceress on her own, and she was like a feared entity in Eternia before Skeletor came along and like whooped her out in a magic battle and was like, yeah, now you work for me. That's okay. Basically her story.
She's the OG basically. Skeletor. Yeah.
If you ever look at a drawing of Evelyn done by Adam Hughes, you will look at her in a completely different light.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Check those
out.
See
that.
You won't laugh at Evelyn anymore.
Her armor is pretty much the same, like not the crown, but the armor is pretty much the exact same design as Teela, just different colors.
Like dark.
Because they both have like the rope design around their chest, like in the exact same way.
That was done very specifically for the toy line, I think.
Yeah, I kind of figured as much. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there really wasn't very many female characters. There was like the queen who wore a dress. There was the two, Teela and Evelyn. And then there was
the sorceress and She-Ra.
Yeah, the sorceress and the She-Ra are the same body mold, and Teela and Evelyn are the same body mold.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that they weren't part of the original toy line. Like, they were created for the show before they were created as toys, just to diversify it a little bit.
Yeah. I see.
Okay, so I'm trying to piece this together in my head. This comet, like, it breaks, or no, Skeletor has it, after he takes it over, send comet creatures down to fight He-Man and crew.
He breaks little fragments off of the comet and then sends them to attack He-Man and crew, and they crash land into the ground and make like mud monsters with like, you know, the secret magic powers inside the comet or whatever.
Yeah.
And then He-Man defeats them, and then there's fragments of comet laying around, which Orko then collects because he thinks they might be useful later.
Oh, with his vacuum arm. That's right.
It's one of those rare moments where Orko actually is useful, because a lot of the time he messes everything up.
Yeah.
So, I think they like did the opposite with him that they did with Beastman.
Orko to this show is pretty much the equivalent of Snarf to the Thundercats. Like, just the whiny little creature person that it doesn't look like anything else, and you're like, please just get out of here. Like,
except kind of in the episodes that we watched, he was pretty useful in two of them at least.
Yeah, the earlier stuff he was very useful, and there were like a handful of episodes throughout. Especially the ones where you meet the other people from Orko's race. Because he's not the only one. There's like a whole race of them, and I can't remember what they're called. But those are some interesting episodes, because he really kind of shines there. But throughout the majority of the series, Orko is very much just the bumbling idiot that kind of ruins everything and then has to get fixed by He-Man.
There's one scene in particular with this, and I think it's when the like comet little creatures start forming, or maybe it's when they're first raining down from the sky, and Teela and Prince Adam, he hasn't transformed at the time, are like running, and Prince Adam trips over a rock, and Teela keeps running, but she like, when she turns around and realizes he fell, she does this like little shuffle, almost looks like she's dancing back to him. Like, the animation's so bad.
It's frolicking. We'll call
that. Was the frolicking. She was definitely frolicking. I was just like, oh my God. Like, I had to play it back to see if I like that's actually what was happening. I'm like, yep, she's kind of shuffling along.
The worst animation throughout the entire series is whenever anybody has to run. Like, they're great at dialogue, they're great at fighting, but like when they have to run, it always looks terrible.
Yeah, it looked really bad.
It was really strange watching them run.
Well, yeah, it's like the when you're watching a character run at you, it's like the legs, instead of just going forward and backward, they kind of go like the legs and the hips go side to side. So it looks like she's like dancing her way back over. It's super weird.
She's frolicking over to him.
She's frolicking. Exact,
frolicking is the best word.
And I didn't remember that Cringer was pretty much like Scooby-Doo. Like, I forgot that Cringer could talk, and that he's really scared of everything, which makes sense because Cringe. So, you know, Adam whips his sword out and he transforms into Battle Cat, and Adam becomes He-Man. So, and why does He-Man's voice always echo? They're not in a cave or anything, and his voice is constantly echoing.
Yeah, he's the most powerful in the universe, Chris. Of course it would echo.
He's the most powerful vocal cords in the universe.
Yeah.
I love how nobody ever figures out that Cringer, the only green tiger in Eternia, is also Battle Cat.
Yes.
Right.
That's even more of a shock than He-Man, honestly. No,
it's just like, there's no reason why these people should not figure out. I think maybe some of them do in later episodes, but very few of them. And that's really a shame, especially the king. Like, you're leading people. You're ruling over a land, and you still don't even know your own son well enough to know that he is also He-Man.
Yeah.
I think, it, like, if you watch enough of the show, you kind of get this feeling that Randor just doesn't really give a crap. Like, he spends all of his time just kind of hanging out in the castle, like, playing games and talking to people. But he doesn't really do any ruling. Like,
yeah.
And he doesn't really know what's going on in his kingdom unless people tell him.
Man.
Okay, so they, to solve this situation, to solve this, because Skeletor is going to, like, you know, ram the comet into them, and he keeps raining these guys down. They're like, okay, we got to take these fragments and we'll just build a new comet, which, I mean, obviously build a new comet that, and fill it with goodness,
right?
Which is the plan. So this, this is the best exchange of dialogue I've ever heard in a cartoon where Zagreus is explaining to them what to do. And he's like, you must all gather around and touch it. Teela is like, oh, it feels so evil. And he's like, no, don't think about it. I laughed so hard.
The whole time going on, I was just like, oh man, there's so many jokes you can make right here.
Yeah.
I was dying. Like, I think that's the loudest I've ever laughed at a cartoon where it wasn't supposed to be funny.
Because he's just sitting back and like demanding that they do this and just,
touch it.
It feels so evil. You sent me that earlier too, and I got to re-laugh at it.
So funny. But it worked, and they make a new comet, and the comet's like, thank you. And then
the comets thank them.
And it's like, I guess, fly a comet.
And you know, the other comet's like, I'm not evil anymore because now I have my heart, which is this other comet. And I'm like, but both the comets are dudes. And I'm like, it's continuing the theme like the whole gay thing of He-Man. So you got two gay comets. They're back together and all is well.
Progressive.
This show is very progressive with, and I don't think they knew it. I don't think they planned on it, but they did it.
I like the part where He-Man tries to stop the comet and then like it knocks him away and he's like, wow, that's the last time I try to wrestle a comet.
Yes. But he like, we gotta give him credit. He gets flung into the air and he's like, stopped in midair for a few seconds holding this comet.
But he has, like, he has no propulsion. Like, he just runs into it and somehow holds it in place midair. Yeah, like,
he just floats in midair hanging onto the comet.
You can't question He-Man. He can do just about anything.
Yeah,
just
dude, he's too strong for gravity.
Yeah. No, my favorite part was when the wizard is trying to get the other comet to fly again.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, come on, you can do it. You can fly. And they're like, he's like, my magic doesn't work right. And Teela's like, we believe in you. Keep trying. And he just keeps saying the same thing. Like, you can do it. Come on, comet, fly. And then it's like, I can do it now. And the comet flies away.
Just randomly, he's like, oh, okay.
So ridiculous.
That was just so we could lead into the PSA that's all about losing confidence.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, we all fail sometimes. We should never stop believing in ourselves.
Oh, my gosh.
Good advice.
What other shows have done PSAs besides this and G.I. Joe? You guys remember any other ones?
There was a show that had like sports action heroes, like BoJack was one of them.
Yes, yes.
I can't remember what it's called, but that's the only one I can think
it's
of.
It's like Pro Stars or something like that. But yeah, I know something. What you're talking about. Yeah, it's like Bo Jackson, Wayne Gretzky, and
And Michael Jordan, maybe.
I feel
someone
like
else. Yeah, I don't know.
There's a show we watched for this series that had some PSAs, but not all of the shows did. Was it ALF or something? No. There was one that had some at the end. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, yeah. It's
been a while.
Remember. Yeah. I love PSAs at the end of these cartoons.
I wish they still did that.
Oh, those are hilarious. Because knowing is half the battle.
He-Man.
Yep. Just combine them. Let's go ahead and jump into the second episode we watched for today's show. And this one was suggested by Justin, The Shadow of Skeletor, Season 2, Episode 15. And Justin, why did you suggest this to us?
Because it was a Beastman heavy episode.
Nice. Yeah, really. Yes, it really was.
In multiple ways.
And we got lots of Manny faces.
And it's a Manny faces episode as well, which, you know, there's only two of them. So I figured I should pick one of those as well.
Right.
This is one of the episodes that really kind of shows how talented Beastman is on his own. Because a lot of the time people have perception that he can't accomplish anything without Skeletor. But like, he was locked in this impenetrable fortress. You know, he's never supposed to escape from that prison, and he did it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What did they say? Like, it was a prison that was 100% escape proof or something.
Right.
And he escaped.
Not so.
He escaped.
Yeah.
Yeah, Beastman's not to be trifled with.
He's the best escapist ever. And he's the best looking of all of them.
Beastman.
I love Beastman. We got Ram Man also, who's like, I'm sorry, dude, he's an idiot.
Ram Man. He's the dumbest character. He has hit his head too many times. I loved him when I was a kid. He's got a concussion or something.
But he even does the duh noise when he talks. Like, duh, Manny faces.
I don't want to be your friend anymore.
We're not friends no more. Yeah. It started out so Manny Faces is in a play with Tila, and he's showing his monster face, and they're like, oh, it's so scary. How do you like my monster face?
That sounds really like that could go inappropriate real fast. Like, ooh,
how he talks in this like same
show
monotonous voice, no matter what face is showing.
Oh yeah,
like, he's just like, yes. I'm Manny Faces.
Look at my monster face. Now look at my real face.
Yeah.
Which face is his real face? Will the world ever know?
I think it's the one with the red goggle things.
Mm, yeah. How would someone like Manny Faces be born? Like,
how are any of the Eternians born? Honestly, like, yeah. Have you seen Mechaneck? Like, what happened to that guy's mom?
That poor guy.
Extendor. Like, there's a guy named Extendor, and all of his ligaments extend to like crazy lengths. I mean, all of them. I don't know how any of the Masters of the Universe were born.
Well, lots more might have been born if all of his appendages can extend.
It just looks like everybody comes from some weird, different planet, and there's no other of their race in existence. They're all it's almost like they're all just mutants.
Kind of. It does kind of look like that.
But then every once in a while, you find out there's like a whole society of the, like, Stratos. You're talking about the bird guy.
Yeah.
Like, he has a whole society and he's the king of them. Like, sometimes you find that out. It's a very like deep universe. There's a lot of stuff you don't know about it unless you really go looking for it.
Yeah. Well, I can see a character like Trapjaw. Like, maybe he was some race, but like he looks like he was like augmented with like lots of metal parts and stuff. But you get someone like Manny Faces and his face is literally like part of the costume. Like, so I feel like if someone took that piece off of him, like, he wouldn't have a head. And I'm like, how would that even work?
Or maybe his head is under all of these faces and they're just kind of overlays.
Oh my gosh.
He's really just like a little fairy guy inside of there controlling him like a giant robot.
Yeah.
It's like another Orko.
I love how in this show, like, all of their names are directly related to what they do or what they are. There's like no imagination. It's just like, I'm Stinkor, I stink. That's it.
Right, exactly.
Well, there's a few. There's a, like, you know, Rio Bravo. You remember that guy?
No, which one is he?
He was a Texan. He talked with like a Texan accent, and he had like a cowboy hat, and he had all these like weapons built into his body that would like pop out. But his name was Rio Bravo.
Perfect.
Wow.
Trapjaw had like a steel trap as a jaw.
Of course,
but you're right. So. Most of them, like Clawful. You remember that guy?
Clawful. I'm guessing he had claws.
He had a giant claw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Merman. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. Beastman. Yeah.
Mossman.
Oh, quick question. So Skeletor. So he is basically a skeleton, but pretty much in face only, because the rest of him is big, buff bodybuilder. But if his head is just like a skull, is he a skeleton wearing basically like a big muscle suit? Like you might see someone wearing Halloween, or is he just like a big muscly dude with just like nothing on his head?
If you read the comic series, like, it actually goes into that in a very detailed way, and it makes it kind of make sense. It's like almost like he was a dark sorcerer who kind of succumbed to that power.
He was Adam's uncle.
He was Adam's uncle originally. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
But in practicing the dark arts, I think that's what brought him to the point that he is.
Well, he got his power from Horde Prime, just like Hordak.
Yeah.
And I think whenever anybody receives their power from Horde Prime, they sort of become like the skeletal figure. Except Keldor had more knowledge than Hordak did, so he left and figured out how to fight it and become his own person. Whereas Hordak went with Horde Prime and became like his chief commander.
It's very deep.
He's like, this magic's so cool, it'll melt your face off. And then Skeletor is like, I didn't know you meant literally.
Oh, man.
Beastman's flying through their space, and He-Man stops his plane and crash lands it. And then all of them go on the plane, and they find him, and they imprison him, and they have Manny Faces talk to Skeletor through the intercom using Beastman's voice to figure out what his evil plan is.
Yeah.
And there's two moons on Eternia, and one is the light moon and one is the dark moon. And the Dark Moon is right above Snake Mountain, and it doesn't have any kind of good stuff going on for it. It's like a race of barbarians. There's no advanced technology. They basically get the scraps of whatever Skeletor gives them. Whereas the Light Moon, you know, they're thriving. They have all kinds of support from the Eternians. Like, they're doing a great job. And there was this peace treaty between the two moons where they were going to figure out a way to share light from the Light Moon to the Dark Moon.
Oh, right.
Please tell them the name of this treaty.
What was it? I don't remember.
The Treaty of Friendship.
That's right.
And
everything was friendship.
And he got so mad, he ripped up the Treaty of Friendship.
I like how everyone gasped when he did that.
We're friends no more. I love, though, that, like, so Prince Adam's dad, the king's, like, talking to him because they're basically getting the blame for all this bad stuff that's happening on the moon. And... like, he's like, rips up the treaty and stuff like that, and the king's like, but we're still friends, aren't we? that's it, like, you're about to go to war, like, with this moon, but you're worried about being friends.
When friends are angry, they sometimes say things that they'll later regret. Remember that. Oh, yeah. Message
that was repeated twice in this episode.
Yeah.
Yep. Well,
at least twice.
I like how he's like, or someone's like, only one person could be behind all this. Skeletor. Of course it's Skeletor. Who else would it be?
Who else causes any problems?
Once in a while, a Tordak. Once.
Okay.
He's introduced into that universe. Yeah.
We got to talk about how Beastman, like, escapes, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Talk about his escape where he's using. I didn't even realize he had this power until I saw this episode where he can communicate with wild animals.
He can control them. It's not just that he can communicate with
them.
Oh, he controls them.
He can bend them to his will. Like, Beastman is a legitimate threat, just like Merman. Merman can control all aquatic creatures, which is why Skeletor recruited the two of them, because, you know, even though they're like bumbling idiot henchmen, like, they both have legitimate powers on their own.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Beastman basically takes this pterodactyl and says, you know, rip open this thing so the gate will open just enough so that I can hop on top of you and fly away. And then he does.
Because He-Man was stupid, and he's like, you'll never escape this because it's electronically controlled. And so are those bars right there. And there's the controls over there. Look at that switch.
Whatever you do, don't try to touch that control because you can't.
Yeah.
La la la. Just walks out of there. This man's like, I wonder if I can get this pterodactyl to work this control.
Yeah. That pterodactyl must have flown his head off because Beastman got to the Dark Moon real quick.
Yeah. I'm surprised pterodactyls can fly through space to get to a moon. Like, I mean, I felt like maybe they'd have it in them, but, you know, I was skeptical.
Well, now you know for sure.
Good to see. Now I know for sure.
There's a spot where they're talking to Ram Man, and they're saying something to him about Many Faces. Where, like, they can make up, and I hope you do the same with Many Faces. And he's just like, And I liked his expression right there. Some of their side expressions, their reactions to any of the conversations are just hilarious.
So what happens is, so Many Faces had taken Beastman's place amongst Skeletor's horde, as Skeletor is kind of relaying what the plan is. Or not Skeletor, Evil Lyn's relaying the plan.
Right.
But Beastman shows up, the real Beastman, and then Skeletor, like, zaps Many Faces because they realize it's not the real Beastman, and he gets captured, and then...
And he doesn't do it in, like, a nice way either. He's just...
No,
it's
not
like
at
one
all.
Of the few times you see Skeletor just slap somebody. He's just that'll
rough.
Be enough, Many Faces, and he just, like, zaps the shit out of him.
I'm curious to know, like, how Skeletor knew it was Many Faces, unless Beastman overheard who it was that was impersonating him.
He had to, right?
Yeah. Unless he's just really good at guessing, too. Like, that's one of his other powers.
I mean, who else can change into other... Yeah.
That's true.
It's like, as big of a universe as it is, collectively, they're very small, so they pretty much all know each other. It's almost like the Cheers of a universe there. Everybody knows your name and what your abilities are because it's in your name.
One thing that I thought was real funny is, like, Teela and Prince Adam and Man-at-Arms show up on the moon to rescue Many Faces and stuff. And again, like, they're the only ones in this ship. And Adam turns into He-Man, and Teela's like, He-Man, where'd he come from? Like, really? You still haven't figured it out? Like, how is this possible?
He's very concerned about not letting anyone find out who he is, aside from the people who already know, which is, like, Man at Arms and Orko, I think, at this point. And
Cringer.
Oh, and Cringer. But he's just like, he'd risk like sacrificing people's lives if it meant someone would see him change into He-Man.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and the other thing too is like, I don't remember if it's this episode or the one after this one we watched where he's like, where's Adam? And he's like, oh, he's safe. I put him somewhere. And then like all of them leave the moon and just like, nobody ever questions what happened to Adam.
It was this one. Yeah. Like they're just like, oh, I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just leave him there with Skeletor.
He-Man said he's safe.
Yeah.
I need a break from that voice. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, okay, so the difference between Prince Adam's voice and He-Man's is Prince Adam talks like this, and then here's He-Man. It's like, oh my god.
It's really just like, hey, like he just like lightens his voice so much, father, and things like he sounds like a teenager would, but in a bulky man's body, and that's what makes it hilarious.
Well, that's why they gave him the pink shirt to just kind of
young him up a little bit.
Well, the best part, it's like this big bulky dude with like the Dutch boy haircut from he looks ridiculous.
That's why I appreciated what they did in later iterations where they actually made Adam look like a young man. So there was an actual difference between Adam and He-Man. And then it's like, okay, now this whole universe makes sense to me. I believe it all now.
Right. Once they had more of a budget.
Yeah.
It still doesn't make sense how nobody ever sees the Sword of Power tucked down the back of a shirt.
Well, that's true. Huge. Right. Yeah. It seems
a big sword.
Like you would think that it would change form. Like, why couldn't it be just like a regular, like a wooden sword or something, or like a training sword, and turn like Cringer does, like He-Man does, into something powerful? But no, it's always the same Sword of Power.
I mean, She-Ra can transform her sword into all kinds of stuff. It turns into rope. It turns into like a magnifying glass.
Yeah. What the heck?
A magnifying glass. That's awesome.
Like, He-Man's sword is just a sword.
It really is, yeah. He's just brute force.
Yeah.
So they figure this one out where, like you were saying earlier, the bright moon is trying to help the dark moon by reflecting some of its light with a mirror of some sort onto the dark moon to help them cultivate crops and things like that. And that was where the friendship treaty came into play. And Skeletor was trying to destroy that. He had a proton blaster set up to shoot the mirror satellite device, and He-Man comes in, turns it on himself basically, and has it destroy itself.
He has a great seesaw moment because Beastman and Skeletor are trying to aim it and fire real quickly, and then He-Man jumps on the end of it and throws them into the air.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
That's perfect.
And everybody's friends again in the end. Ram Man and Many Faces especially make up, and it's like, you're the best friend ever. It's like,
but
no,
they call each other Rammy and Manny.
Rammy and Manny. Yeah.
Rammy. And they like hug it out at the end,
yeah,
too.
They're
like bro hugging it. Yeah. Like hard.
They're the best friends. And then we get the PSA, which is basically just repeating the same thing with Many Faces and Ram Man. I was going to call him Rammy again.
Rammy. Oh, Rammy. It's funny, though, is they start arguing at the end, though, about who's the better friend.
Yeah.
Because Ram Man's like, you're the best friend, and Manny Face is like, no, you're the best friend. They just start fighting again.
It seems like most of the episodes end with all the other characters laughing at some ridiculous situation that's going on. That's how they close out.
These two are so stupid. They just start laughing at them. Like, look at these two.
Yeah, laughing at them. Yeah. Well, I liked this episode, so thank you for choosing this one. This one was hilarious.
Was,
and you're right, it did show Beast Man actually kind of at his prime doing something really useful. You know, Merman has control of the seas and he has control of land, so it makes sense that they were both recruited by Skeletor in that way.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like a better Bebop and Rocksteady. They're bumbling idiots, but they actually have power to do things.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That brings us to the third episode we watched for today's show, which is the highest rated episode, The Problem with Power, season 2, episode 45, where Skeletor tricks He-Man into believing he accidentally killed a man. And I'll just leave it at that so we can expand upon it, but like, this episode felt completely different from the other episodes in that it had a very serious tone to it. And
yeah, definitely.
Kind of throughout, like, I was really engaged in it. I was engaged in the other episodes in the way that I was laughing at them and I was like, oh, this is awesome. But in this one, I was like, whoa, like, what's going to happen? Like, this is really getting pretty dire. Like, it felt
it really
like
deep.
There was a big threat and it was really deep.
But it starts out kind of goofy though, with like Trapjaw has like a Tartarin and a headlock, and
oh yeah,
and Skeletor can't get him to leave the room.
Yeah, he's so stupid.
It's like, this is like,
we need to have a conversation alone. Why don't you leave, Trapjaw? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah,
he's like, oh okay,
oh sorry. Yeah,
he's just switching his weapons. He like switched his arm like 5 times while Skeletor was talking.
just going through, just shuffling.
You know what I love in this, and like, maybe I just didn't notice it in the other ones because I'm sure I've seen him do it before, but when Skeletor laughs, he does this little dance like with his arms up in the air, and like, like listeners can't see this, but out of context, him doing this motion is hilariously inappropriate, because like my mind just went somewhere completely else.
Yeah.
Very, very sexy. Very sexy.
you guys will have to watch the episode to understand what I'm talking about.
You'll
see it.
He does it in a lot of episodes. Like, pretty common move for Skeletor.
Okay.
the arms over the head, shaking him thing. Like, yeah. Skeletor do that a lot.
Typical Skeletor. He's all about that shake weight.
There he goes.
Double shake weight.
Double shake
one
weight.
In both hands.
Yeah.
Above his head. Wow.
So, it starts out with General Tartarin and Skeletor having a discussion, and he's going over something with him. He's like, so goblins don't have hearts, right? He's like, no hearts. And it's like he's builds up to this where he's like, he doesn't tell us what it is right away, but he's tells Tartarin that he's going to have He-Man defeat himself. And I thought it was like going to be who you told me is Fakor. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I can't wait to see him. But that wasn't the case. Instead, it was something much more serious.
Yeah.
Which I don't even really get, because Skeletor is like, okay, I'm going to have this guy who doesn't have a heartbeat. He's going to all these elaborate lengths when really he could just kill a guy and make it look like He-Man killed the guy.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Which seems like more of a Skeletor move. Instead, he's more about preserving life just to pull off this evil scheme, which I don't know. But I guess just so they didn't have to show an actual death on the show, they went about it in the most roundabout way.
Yeah.
And then kind of showed a death anyway.
True.
I'm pretty sure that's the whole reason they didn't want to show actual death, because so many kids were watching the show. But they still did it in a roundabout way.
It made sense the way they did it, and because I was like, why would it matter that he doesn't have a heart? And then I was like, oh, when he pulls off the thing, which is, so Skeletor's scheme is building this, like, fake building this, like, portal at first with this, like, these rocky pillars to it, and they're obviously poorly set up, almost, like, just held up with a stick in the back.
Yes.
Yeah. He-Man's catches wind of it, or I think someone tells him, and then they come running in to save the day, and Skeletor is just kind of playing ring around the rosy. He's just running around the this pillar with He-Man, kind of making him chase him. He's like, all right, well, I can't catch you, so I'm just gonna punch through this giant rock pillar, which no matter, it wouldn't have mattered the structure of it being so flimsy or anything like that, would have knocked it down regardless. So I don't see why they had to do that part, but yeah. He decided it was a good idea to punch right through it to hit Skeletor, and he doesn't end up getting Skeletor either, but he also knocks his pillar right over, and he's like, well, Skeletor escaped.
Some of my favorite scenes were Skeletor like skulking in the background, watching the whole thing happen, because he's just like,
yes.
Yeah. He's like peeking from behind a corner, like,
yeah. Just quietly meowing.
Well, what was funny is, like, before, like, they even get this little fight, like, and this I didn't understand, because He-Man gets there, instead of, like, taking the fight to Skeletor, he just kind of goes up and lectures him about how his structure doesn't look safe. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Wait, he's the bad guy. Why don't you just start attacking him right there? Why are you, like, well, you know, what you should do is...
Well, yeah, he's... He's like his structure doesn't look safe, but it seems like the primary evil is that he's using all these people as slaves to build this.
Right.
But instead, he may just like, I question the structure of this. You should have them build it better.
This is dangerous.
Yeah.
Skeletor like kind of hides and the thing falls over. And what they did was Tartarin like had a disguise on, because everyone can disguise themselves super well in this show. He disguises himself as one of these people that's building it, and he's like laying in the thing, and then Skeletor disguises himself too, comes out, and he's like, oh, there was someone there, you killed him,
my brother.
He doesn't change his voice at all. The voice is exactly the same.
Yeah, it's just like this human looking guy, and he's like, meh, He-Man, you killed him. He-Man's like, that can't be Skeletor, he looks like a commoner. Then he's checking the heartbeat of this guy that the bricks fell on, and obviously he's got no heartbeat because it's Tartar End. And my favorite part, He-Man thinks he killed him.
He-Man doesn't even say anything to the villagers because they're all just like looking at him. Yeah, and he doesn't even, and he just charges and walks away. And I was like, what is this? Like,
wow. Yeah. When to take ownership.
Like, I know he feels responsible and like sullen about doing this, but like, he's like, nope, not talking. He just walks on by.
I can't face this right now. Yeah.
But like in the background though, and you know what? This was an episode I appreciated Orko.
Yeah.
Because Orko was like so like kind of like distraught and just like couldn't believe what happened. And like, so you're kind of getting that emotional tie to the episode through him kind of witnessing it. And he's just like, oh my God. And then he's trying to tell He-Man it's not his fault and trying to get him to turn around and to go back to the castle and all that stuff. And He-Man's not listening. And Orko's like really not sure what to do. And like, I actually really enjoyed him from that perspective, especially because then he witnesses Skeletor and Tartar End turn back into themselves and realizes they've been duped. And Orko, he's so mad.
But then, of course, he gets captured by Skeletor and jailed up for the rest of the episode. So he's the only other person who knows that this was a trick the whole time. Yeah, a hoax. And so it's kind of like he's over here with He-Man just completely distraught and, you know, sullen over this and ready to give up powers altogether because he's used them irresponsibly. And, you know, the typical hero affair where if they step outside of their supposed boundaries, then they don't feel that they're deserving of that power,
which is why he throws the sword into the chasm.
Yeah. Which is like,
he gives up the sword.
To me, it's like, well, couldn't you just like pass it on and let somebody else be He-Man or something for a while? Like, there's Skeletor is still there.
You read the comics. You know that it has to be somebody from that bloodline to even use the sword. He'd rather put it somewhere where Skeletor had no chance of getting it than take it back to Grayskull, right?
Well, that's true, because Skeletor potentially could have taken it over for himself in that way. But
he could have given it to his sister. Of course, she didn't really need it. She's powerful enough. But yeah.
I wonder if you could combine those weapons, like have She-Ra's and He-Man's on one person.
Ooh. I think there's one episode where Adora does use both.
Oh, really?
Both really?
Weapons. Yeah.
Nice.
I think there is one episode where she uses both, but it doesn't give her any additional power. She just ends up using both swords.
Oh, okay. So she's just capable of wielding both, but no bonus.
Right.
Got it. Yeah. So he drops it in. Orko's in. All these cells are 100% something proof. This one's 100% magic proof, just so happens.
Yes.
So Orko can't get out of it, at least not in the typical way, at least not blasting anything. But instead, he's just like, oh, wait, like I could just shrink down and then I could just fit right through these bars. Like it doesn't stop me from casting magic on myself. And so a smarter idea would have been for that cell to be a magic dampener altogether. But Skeletor didn't think it through. So he shrinks down and he gets out. And then he's headed over to He-Man to finally break the good news to him that it wasn't, that he didn't kill anyone.
Before that happens, though, I mean, they're back at the castle and they're like, well, we got to do something to stop Skeletor. So Teela's like, well, I'll be a suicide bomber. That's fine.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
And it's like this bomb thing and she's going to go in and blow up the gate with herself. And this is where I'm like, man, like everyone here sucks. Because like she's like, I'll do it. And you know, she's like, I mean, they make it obvious that she's not coming back. And Man-at-Arms is like, all right, good luck, daughter. Bye.
Yeah, that's her father.
And, I know.
And he's much older, so he could have been like, no, I'll do this. I'll take this
right.
one.
So he like, doesn't right, even bye. Question it. Yeah. He's like, all right, well.
Good luck.
And Prince Adam, like, he's literally like, no, Teela, no.
Yeah.
He's thinking, wow, I dodged a bullet.
Not even like, you know, I lost my powers because I did something irresponsible. Let me make up for it with this ultimate sacrifice. Instead, he's just like, sayonara.
Seriously, they're just like,
I didn't like you that much. Bye.
Right. Bye. And then Orko shows up after she's already left and tells what happened. And He-Man's got the facepalm moment like, ah, I should have known.
That's Skeletor. Back.
So then he's got to go to get his sword back, which means
he tries to fly
like
down it.
He takes a hovercraft thing.
One of the wind raiders. He takes one of the wind raiders down there, but he can't like fight the wind force. So he ends up like falling out of it and just plummeting. And it's like almost one of those comical scenes where like you're just falling forever and he just starts talking to himself. He's like, well, this is kind of boring.
Yeah.
there's gotta be a ground somewhere.
They showed like the same animation for it twice too.
Yeah.
And luckily, everything lands in the same spider web. So that was super handy.
I guess it was a pretty big spider web. And he fell, I guess he dropped down. Lucky there was a spider web, because supposedly it's like a bottomless chasm. So who knows?
Right. I like that he was just like, well, it's a bottomless chasm, but I threw the sword in. You know, maybe I'll catch up, even though I threw it in like a day ago.
I'm heavier than the sword. I'll catch up. Right.
Yeah.
I understand physics.
So basically, he got super lucky that everything landed in the same spider web.
Well, and that he landed right by his sword in that spider web as the spider was approaching him.
Right. So he's like, and his little hover thing did too.
Yeah, just out of reach.
I like how they always use the same animation for his transformation. So like, he's struggling. He's like on his back, like reaching for the sword. He barely touches it. Like, he just has one finger on it. He's like, by the power of Grayskull. And then all of a sudden, he's like standing on a mountaintop holding the sword like he always does.
I have the power! This reminds me of, like, we talked about this when we did Sailor Moon. But I'm like, why don't the enemies just attack them as they're transforming? Because it takes them a while to transform.
Same with Voltron, too.
Yeah, I'd just be like, okay, well, this is going to be another 20 seconds. I might as well just kill him now.
I want to see what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it'll be different this time.
I'm curious where this is going
to go. Maybe it'll backfire.
Yeah. A spider may have never seen it before. He was getting a view.
Maybe they're just mesmerized by all the colorful stars and stuff that are happening.
Spider's like, ooh, shiny. Yeah. Oh, shiny.
So he cuts the spider web, and I think the spider falls. Is that what happens?
Oh, yeah. He's going to fall forever.
So spiders fall into his, I don't know, eternal fall, I guess, if it's bottomless.
No, he's a spider. He'll swing like Spider-Man. He'll just shoot some more web and stick to the wall, and it'll be fine, right?
There he goes. Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, spider's all right.
Yeah, spider's fine. So Teela goes to get fake captured by these other goblins but she does it in such a bad way. Like, she's not convincing at all.
There's like a whole group of goblins like having a conversation. Like, the whole scene is so weird because there's one goblin eating a turkey leg or something.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are just sitting around watching them. They're like, ooh, this is interesting. And then Tila's like, hey, boys. And they're like, oh, grab her.
Yeah, let's take her to Skeletor. She's like, yes, take me to Skeletor.
And the gate. Yeah. Like, she literally
sounds
says.
Like a good idea.
Then He-Man shows up like right around the time this is taking place. And Skeletor does something and changes like the timer. It's going to, or the bomb's going to go off. This was my favorite part of this episode. It was Skeletor says his little line, but it sounds like he's trying not to laugh when he says it, because he's like, it should be quite a blast.
I'm sure Alan Oppenheimer was trying not to laugh when he said it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's hilarious. It was so good.
And like, I love how they all recognize exactly what the device is too, because Teela has like this little egg bomb in her hand.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like a thermonuclear weapon or something. And Skeletor's like, oh my God, it's some random bomb I've never heard of before.
Exactly.
It almost reminds me of like the Return of the Jedi scene in Jabba's palace with the thermal detonator. Oh, it's a mesotronic bomb. And everybody's just like, whoa, I'm out of here. Nope, I'm gone.
Yep.
And then He-Man shows up and the bomb's going to go off. And He-Man just picks up Teela and hauls out. He's running so fast. Like, there's no frolicking there. He's just hauling out like Roadrunner. Outruns the blast. Beep, beep. And then Teela's like, okay, you can put me down. He's like, no, I think I'll carry you. And he just like walks into the sunset holding Teela the whole time.
Yeah, they had like a mini romantic moment there where she's like, it was put me down
too.
Now. He's like, I think I'll carry you. She's like, no, put me down. He's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, she's like, I can walk, you know, and he's like, I can carry at least halfway.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. Like, he's not even like trying to hide it now. He's just straight up hitting on Teela.
Just straight up.
Yeah, he's like, I can carry you halfway. And she's like, well, what good will that do? You might as well carry me the whole way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're both into it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're like teenagers trying to kind of probe the water and see if the other one likes them.
Check yes or no.
And the PSA of this one's great. He talks about like fire could burn your toys.
Yeah.
You know,
or
which
yourself
we want to prevent
or
that.
Your family.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't burn anything.
So just like Smokey Bear says, only you can prevent forest fires and toy fires and family fires and self fires. So you can prevent accidents. Better safe than sorry. That's the PSA. So Chris and Justin, looks like it's about time we pay a visit to our inner kids and see what they thought of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe while we steal all the original He-Man action figures they have and don't fully appreciate and then add them to our personal nostalgic collection.
When I grow up, I want to be big and strong and wear barely any clothes, just like He-Man. But then I would probably join Skeletor because he's kind of funny and all the good guys are kind of dumb. I mean, Manny Faces? That sounds like a joke my dad would make. Lame. I'd rather hang out with Beastman, even though he probably smells bad. But I had fun with this cartoon and I gave it 4 bowls of friendship cereal out of 5.
Watching the original He-Man with a critical eye is probably not a great idea. There are so many obvious flaws to be found in this show, from the low-budget animation to the awkward dialogue exchanges to even more painfully obvious Clark Kent-Superman parallel that Adam has with He-Man. That said, even though it was admittedly made to sell toys, which are really cool by the way, it did spawn a very interesting universe with really cool-looking characters and is actually kind of hilarious even when it doesn't mean to be. Plus, how else would I know to never stop believing in myself even when I fail? Thanks, Man-at-Arms! Overall, I'd give He-Man 4 big bowls of soggy Skeletor skull cereal out of 5. It's far from perfect, but in a way that makes it even more fun to watch. But anyway, I've got to go now. My mom says I'm starting to stink, so I have to shower! Bath time!
I love this show. I've always loved this show. He-Man was my hero growing up. I always learned a lot of cool lessons from him. I always learned a lot of cool lessons from his friends. But I still identified with the villains, and I always wanted to be friends with Beastman and Merman and Skeletor more than the heroes. And I don't think that's going to change when I get older. I love these episodes in particular because they show what a badass Beastman really can be and that you can't always count people out, even if they do seem like they're idiots. You know, never judge a book by its cover. It's a perfect PSA sort of thing to say. Overall, He-Man was a defining show of my childhood, and it certainly is still a show that I return to regularly to enjoy. If I'm going to have to rate it, I'm going to give it 4 bowls of Ramios out of 5.
I would eat some Ramyo cereal, especially if they had Manny marshmallows.
Oh, you
inside.
Know they would.
Ah.
You know they would.
Do you guys have any closing thoughts about He-Man and Masters of the Universe before we get out of here?
For me, I mean, it was good to step back into this. It's one that's always on my mind in some way, like you said, because it, even though it's like not everyone has seen it, it keeps coming back. Like, it's almost like a Ninja Turtles counterpart in a way, because like they keep trying to remake it. And while I haven't caught all of the cartoons that have come in between, I did jump onto the comics, like I said, and those are really strong. So that's kind of revitalized it for me. Go back to the show for the joy that it brings you, and it will. You'll laugh at it. Like, even if scenes aren't intentionally funny, they will be funny to you, especially as an adult. So there's so much to appreciate about it, and I think you should definitely check it out.
Yeah, just to go off of that, like, I was thinking is like, does this cartoon hold up? Well, probably not, but I still get a lot of enjoyment out of it with all the crazy characters, and where there was bad writing or bad animation, instead of being annoyed, it made me laugh. It was still enjoyable. So even like the good parts are enjoyable. The faults it had were still enjoyable. So like I said, I haven't seen a whole lot of it. I don't know if I'll go back and watch all of it, but I am really interested in other He-Man properties. So other cartoons I would love to see. And definitely want to read more of the comics from DC, especially because I had started reading them several months ago. And then I don't remember why. I think I started reading something else and I just lost my place in it. So I'm going to start reading those over and I'm really excited to do it.
Like I said, I love He-Man. I always have. It doesn't hold up as well as you would like it to. There's definitely some things in there like the bad animation and the bad dialogue. But the delivery is always so good. Like all the voice actors that worked on the show really made the show. And they still stand out and they're still great. There's a lot of really funny moments. There's so much to enjoy about it. One of the things that I really like about it too is the music. Like there's a lot of like music driving the whole thing. I mean, like the score for He-Man was actually a lot of fun, and it's still, I think that holds up better than a lot of the animation and stuff does. I'd say definitely check it out. Check out the comics. Like, remember that the universe is a lot deeper than it appears on the surface. There's a lot more characters you don't know about. There's a lot of history to all the characters, and you know, there's like almost 40 years worth of comic strips and mini comics and comic books and all this stuff that just gives you backstory on everything. And like, if you want to find that stuff, it's all been collected into hardcovers now. So it's real easy to go back and learn about the world. And I love doing that. Like, it's one of my favorite things to revisit. Like, this was the pinnacle show for me when I was growing up. So it's so much fun for me to go back to it.
that excites me because, like, as Joseph and any of our listeners that have listened for a long time know, like, I'm a sucker for lore. Like, I love lore in different properties and stuff like that. And I, like, obsess, like, reading, like, everything I can about a property. So that's definitely going to be a thing that sucks me into this IP is just the lore and the background and all the histories and if there's lots of civilizations, like, all of that stuff. So really excited to get into that.
Dark Horse has been doing, like, a collection of the mini, like, they have these hardcovers that's, like, the mini comics, the history of Masters of the Universe, the animation of Masters of the Universe. There's like four or five different hardcovers they've released now, and they're all so fascinating. I've got like four of them, I think.
Cool.
You should definitely check those out. They're a lot of fun to read, and a lot of things I didn't even know. And I've watched the show all the way through probably six or seven times.
So. That's awesome. Nice. Yeah, I will definitely be doing that.
Yeah, I definitely want to catch the episodes with Fakor in it now. Do you know which one it is? Do you happen to, off the top of your head, like season one or two?
I think it's season two. It's like late in season two, actually, was when Fakor made his first appearance.
Okay.
I'd also highly recommend at Christmas time that people go and check out the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas
special. Oh, yeah.
Because some of the best Skeletor moments in the entire He-Man series came from that. So
nice.
Definitely got to check that out.
Oh yeah. Chris and I caught this new episode of He-Man that they aired at, was it Comic-Con that they aired it?
San Diego Comic-Con this past year. Yeah. They made a new He-Man Masters of the Universe, and it was very, very faithful to the old stuff. Like the animation style was much different, but I mean, the storyline was very similar. It was the same voice actors. It was really cool.
But it was like the classic stuff though. Like it wasn't a reimagining. Yeah. It was like a continuation of the classic.
Yeah, it was like similar storylines, similar dialogue, stuff like that.
The animation was like intentionally bad just to kind of make it mirror what it used to be.
Yeah.
It was like Skeletor and the Curse of the Three Terrors is what it was
called.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And it was really cheesy. Beastman and Merman were made like overplayed to be bumbling idiots. And Skeletor
Yeah, they did do that.
Way more like competent than he typically is. it was good. I mean, it was a nice throwback. It was nice to see Super 7 doing that and trying to revitalize it.
Yeah.
I've heard they're going to do some more too, which I'm hoping they do because they did a pretty good job with the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think their goal was to like basically make a small but additional season to the whole series. So
I think the episode's actually up on YouTube now. So if anybody wants to check it out, you can find it.
Definitely. Awesome.
Skeletor Sweet. And what was it?
The Three Terrors.
Three Terrors.
Skeletor
okay.
And the Three Terrors. Nice. Curse yes. of the Three Terrors.
Curse of the Three Terrors, right. Yes, yes. Oh, also, right now they have, I think it's ongoing at this time. It might have just finished. Comic-wise, they have a Thundercats He-Man crossover with DC as well.
Yeah, the sixth issue just came out. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Nice. Oh, you've
That's
read
definitely
it?
Definitely
another
nice.
Hot to catch. I enjoyed it. You'll definitely like it, Joe.
Yeah, so Justin, thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't you let everyone know where in Eternia they can find you and your comic, Speak No Evil?
Well, I'm at graybearcomics.com. That's G-R-A-Y, bearcomics.com. Or you can find my podcast, Mind Fudge Comedy, at mindfudgecomedy.com. On Twitter, we're at mindfudgers. On Facebook, we're Mind Fudge Comedy. If you want to check out Speak No Evil, we have the Kickstarter running until April 17th. I don't know when this is going to air, hopefully before then. But if you go to Kickstarter and just do a search for Speak No Evil, you can actually get all three issues there. If you don't get it there, you can always go to our website, which is graybearcomics.com, or go to Comixology, where we have issue 1 and 2 available.
Sweet.
Nice.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I love He-Man. So definitely, if you've never seen the show, you need to go check it out.
Yes, for sure.
It's definitely worth checking out.
I feel like if anybody would have convinced them to, you explaining all these plot points would have. Like, I want to go back and watch more because of talking to you just now.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm all into getting ready to read these all the comics and all of the background and the history of everything, because now I'm really intrigued. I'm like, yeah.
I think you'll really like it. Like, there's a lot of great lore to the Masters of the Universe world.
Oh, can't wait.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply has now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. Next week, we'll be watching
Batman Beyond, submitted via Facebook by Will Denson. Awesome. It's our second Batman cartoon, so I'm excited. I'm always happy to see some Batman.
Yeah, didn't we do Brave and the Bold? Is that the other one?
Yes.
Yes, which was also great. Once again, I'm Joseph.
I'm Chris.
I'm Justin.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.